You're listening to Song Exploder, where musicians take apart their songs and piece by piece tell the story of how they were made. I'm Hrishikesh Hirway. This episode is brought to you by Progressive, home of the Name Your Price tool. You say how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. It's easy to start a quote. Visit progressive.com to get started. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. This episode contains explicit language. In 2002, Sam Beam's first album as Iron and Wine was released on Sub Pop Records. He had given them a bunch of demos, and rather than have him re-record those songs, they just released the demos themselves. Since then, he's put out 5 more full-length albums, and he's been nominated for multiple Grammys. For this episode, Sam looked back at the making of his song Flightless Bird, American Mouth, from his 2007 album, The Shepherd's Dog. A year after that album came out, the song was used prominently in a scene in the movie Twilight, and it's been one of the most popular Iron and Wine songs ever since. I talked to Sam at Blue Rock Artist Ranch and Studio in Wimberley, Texas, in front of a small audience. Coming up, you'll hear the original demo he recorded and how that transformed into the final version of the song.
I'm Sam Beam, and I have a musical project called Iron and Wine. My family was growing, and I was traveling the world more, traveling the country and the world, and seeing more of the universe. We had been living in Florida for a while, and we were getting ready to move to Texas. That was also in a time right after 9/11. It was still pretty fresh, and the way that made us all feel differently about the world, or just the way the world was changing in that time. And I was also a young man coming to terms with histories that I had learned, and I was reacting to this difference between the myth and the reality.
I was a quick, wet boy diving for candy coins all of your street.
That demo was recorded in 2004, and it sounds like those early Iron and Wine records because I use the same process. I got the sense pretty early that it was like a rite of passage kind of story. It's me talking to America and describing our relationship. I used to multi-track the drums one head at a time. And so my kids and my wife at the time, they always complain about, you know, hearing this boom, 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 you know, or ping, ping, ping. You know, I was always in the back room. At that point, I was definitely learning about demoitis as well. Because if you develop a demo too well and you try to chase the thing, it's impossible. I was building my own studio, so I had brought in Brian Deck, who had recorded the record before that, Our Endless Number of Days. We did that in Chicago. That was my first experience in a studio, and it was frustrating and illuminating everything. And so I got the bug, bought a bunch of gear, and he came to Texas and helped me set it up, and we got to work. I also had a bunch of kids, and I had to take them to school or change a diaper or whatever. It was a mess. But it was also, you know, it was part of the adventure, setting up this mad factory at your house and trying to, you know, make a life out of it. And so Brian would make a loop, like some interesting loop, and I would play a guitar. And then go back and we would record everything else track by track.
I was a quick, wet boy diving too deep for coins.
I changed one of the lyrics from that demo that you played because I decided diving too deep for coins was better than my candy coins. I like the idea of reflecting on yourself as someone diving too deep for things that you were after. And the other stuff was me just reminiscing about my neighborhood as a kid, you know, running around on the streetlights.
Then when the cops closed the fair, I cut my long baby hair and stole me a dog-eared map and called for you.
I was also really into Allen Ginsberg at the time and some of the other beat poets, just their way of describing America. A lot of incongruous images thrown up against each other. I think the beginning of it, the imagery is innocent, and then it gets more complex and more frustrated as the thing goes on. Have I Found You, Flightless Bird, the innocent part of America, or have I lost you, the American mouth with a big pill stuck going down?
Have I found you, flightless bird, jealous, weeping, or lost you?
And then once I got to the idea of like America being a mouth, the rest kind of felt like that things are going wrong. This is Brian Deck. Brian's a drummer. It's one of the reasons I wanted to work with him, because I wish I could go back in time and be part of the rhythm section, but I'm not that good. But that's where my heart is. And so I wanted a producer who loved that as much as me. What's interesting, you can hear this room. It's not like a treated room at all. It was just this round room. It was a terrible idea to record drums in there. That's Rob Berger playing the piano. I love bringing other musicians in. I mean, the demos are, you know, just me, and, you know, I can flesh it out a bunch, but the fun comes when you bring other people in and they expand what you're doing in a way that you would never imagine. Rob, the piano player, is also an incredible accordion player. Mostly, I just wanted new voices, new sounds that I hadn't used before, and I had plenty to choose from because the early records were so sparse. That's an acoustic electric guitar with a tool called the Ebo. Basically, it makes the string vibrate the way a, you know, a violin bow would, and so it gives this long sustain. My grandma used to play piano in church. And I remember as a tiny kid, like, she would sing the harmonies, you know, standing beside me, and I like listen to her. And the music in your ear just kind of starts to expand. You're like, ooh, that's fun. Listening to her woke up something in my brain, or tickled it in a way that just made it really happy. at the time, I just really liked stacking harmonies.
Pissing on magazine photos, those fish and lures thrown in the cold and clean. Blood of Christ, mountain stream.
Pissing on magazine photos, those fish and lures thrown in the cold and clean. Blood of Christ, mountain stream. I had done a bunch of hiking in the Sangre de Cristo Mountains in New Mexico, and so I was just kind of like using the words. It's a roundabout, long-winded, fancy way to say there are things, sacred things, that I don't think are being treated as sacred. You know, there's something vulnerable is being exploited. Like, I think advertising is bullshit. That kind of thing. I mean, obviously it serves a purpose, but like if you get lost in those things, you miss out on some of this beautiful, cold, clean blood of Christ water, you know? It was just sort of this American feeling. The high piano stuff is Rob. We had a really weird filter thing called the Sherman, and anytime we had a spot where we didn't know where to go, we was like, Sherman, see what happens. It was my studio, so for better or for worse, I could work on it whenever I wanted to. I was able to approach it the way that I would a painting. You work on something, walk away, clear your head, look at a lot of other paintings, or work on other stuff, and come back and address it in a totally different mindset, and usually have a new idea of how to approach it. Like in the second section of the song, where you're just sort of building more and more girth, you know, just making it thicker. The drones and all the different clangs and tambourines. It kind of starts quiet, then it gets joyous and a little haywire-ish, and it's fun. You know, I wrote this song, and oddly enough, it's been the most well-known from this movie that it was in, Twilight. You know, it came out around the time they were filming this movie. And as far as I've been told the story, a reputable source told me that Kristen Stewart was listening to it in her headphones while they were blocking this dance scene. And she was just watching, going, oh, this kind of fits. You know, you guys want to put this on some speakers. And they listened to it so many times, it just stuck in their brain and it became the irreplaceable song for them. But yeah, it changed my life. You know, we were doing better than I had ever imagined. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to read music. I don't know what I'm playing. I just enjoy making songs. I never imagined that this would be my career. And so I had already felt like the luckiest person on the planet. And then when it got on the soundtrack and the audience just sort of blossomed and bloomed in this way that I had never imagined, it was a huge part of the building of my career. You never know, man. You never know where they're gonna land.
Have I found you? Flightless bird.
I feel like what happens in the song is a statement. This is what it was like when I was young, and this is what I'm frustrated about now. Growing up and getting older and starting to understand how things work and just feeling unsettled. I don't feel like this narrator ever reached some kind of resolution. I think it's just more of like, things are different now and I don't think they're great. I don't know who I am. Am I the flightless bird in the American mouth? You know, he feels like somewhere in between those things. Anytime someone's griping about the state of their country is because they're frustrated and don't feel like they can change it except by saying it. And I love America. I mean, it's fine to like love America and criticize it at the same time. That's what we do. But we usually criticize the things we love the most.
For those of you who can vote in American elections, for all the ways you might be frustrated with the way America's changing, Election Day is November 8th. Please vote. And now, here's Flightless Bird, American Mouth, by Iron and Wine, in its entirety.
I was a quick, wet boy, diving too deep for coins, all of your street light eyes, wide on my plastic toys. Then when the cops closed the fair, I cut my long baby hair and stole. Yeah.
For more, visit songexploder.net. You'll find links to buy or stream Flightless Bird, American Mouth. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Lovingly dubbed The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters would spur each other on to tap into something bigger, realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboar'snest. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Lovingly dubbed The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters would spur each other on to tap into something bigger, realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter The Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboar'snest. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Lovingly dubbed The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters would spur each other on to tap into something bigger, realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter The Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboar'snest. Song Exploder and the show's theme music were created by me. I produced this episode with Craig Ely, with artwork by Carlos Lerma, music clearance by Kathleen Smith, and production assistance from Mary Dolan. Special thanks to Billy and Dodie Crockett at Blue Rock Artist Ranch and Studio. And special thanks to the folks at PRX who put the taping together. Song Exploder is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a network of independent, listener-supported, artist-owned podcasts. You can learn more about our shows at radiotopia.fm. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Rishi Hirway, and you can follow the show at Song Exploder. You can also get a Song Exploder t-shirt at songexploder.net/shirt. I'm Rishikesh Hirway. Thanks for listening. Radiotopia. From PRX. If you're looking for another podcast to listen to, check out Normal Gossip from Radiotopia. They're coming back for their sixth season. If you don't already know the show, they were named one of the best podcasts of the year by Time Magazine and Vulture, and their new season starts April 17th. Normal Gossip is really fun. It's a show about petty and ridiculous and strange stories and the way that we share those stories. The stories that they tell in the podcast are sent in by listeners, and then they're anonymized and then retold to a guest, and then they have to weigh in on the decisions that the people in the story are making. It's very funny and very beloved. So if you aren't already listening, check out the new season, which starts April 17th. You can listen to Normal Gossip wherever you get your podcasts.